interesantes shows en vivo. Tu mejor opción en internet, Radio Cristal USA.com. Hi, bienvenidos a mi show. Welcome to Catching Up with Claudia. Now, ojalá que se puedan quedar hasta el final para que puedan escuchar lo que va a compartir mi invitada o mi invitado. Así es que no se les olvide también de seguirnos por las redes sociales. Estamos en todas las plataformas. Hasta luego.
Hola, hola y saludos, and we're back with Catching Up with Claudia here on RadioCrystalUSA.com. I'm super excited to be here. I'm actually outdoors. I'm enjoying the nightlife here in Houston, and I'm here at a coffee shop because, you know, you can't, when you have beautiful weather, you have to take advantage of it, especially here in Houston. It's not that hot. It's not that cold. It's not rainy. It's perfect. So I would love to just take the time to catch up with you, and I'm going to bring on an amazing guest today. So we're going to catch up together, introduce to you an amazing woman. But before then, I want to bring in my super comadre Liliana. ¿Dónde está mi super comadre Liliana?
Aquí ando, comadre, ¿cómo estás?
Pues aquí ando en la calle, para arriba y para abajo, tú sabes, ¿verdad?
Captando. No, prendamos el pate de perro, pate de perro.
Pate de perro, porque así somos, ¿verdad? You know, we're always out there, you know, making sure we're getting things done, whether we're working, whether we're recording, whether we're taking care of ourselves, our loved ones, everything. So we're out and about doing the thing. So, ¿cómo estás? I want to do a little recap because you and I did some...
So happy to see you. So
yes.
Happy that you're already up and going, como siempre.
Como siempre, ¿verdad? Pues mira, quería hacer un poquito de un recap, porque we had an amazing guest last time, the artist Angel Quesada, who came on and talked about his mural, his talent, and let's just do a little recap of the unveiling of the Villa Arcos mural that's here in Houston. And if you live in Houston, you got to go over to Villa Arcos. It's a great taco place. It's family. And if you can see right here, here is Angel. He was our past guest, and he's just, this is when they unveiled it. And you were there, comadre.
Impresionante. I loved it. It was so beautiful. Congratulations to Angel Quesada.
Sí, and we had so many amazing, notable people. We had the familia there, legacy. We had many elected officials there from the city council member, Joaquin Martinez. We had a U.S. Congresswoman, Silvia Garcia. We had state representative, state senator, actually, Carol Alvarado. And then we also had Cristina Morales, the state rep. Her office, she sent Gloria Centeno, Norma Centeno to... Gloria Centeno, to represent the office of Representative Cristina Morales. And so it was a beautiful, beautiful day. Now, recapping these pictures, here's the unveiling. And you were there, comadre. You came by. Did you eat the taquitos? ¿Te gustaron? And there you are. You came out here and you supported. And that's what this is about. Familia, artistas, supporting, neighborhood, community, businesses. Y levantando, ¿verdad? El nombre de este lugar, el nombre del artista, Villa Arcos, Angel Quesada, en Segundo Barrio, in Second Ward here in Houston, Texas. So let's go on forward and just see a few more pictures here of the crowd. Oh, and now I also want to recap on something. You know, Claudia, catching up with Claudia, I'm always all over the place, right? This is one of the things that I do. I'm running around all over town sharing Brain Builders. It's a program, un programa para mamás, mommies that have little ones, bebitos entre 0 y 3, and are currently pregnant. Si tienes, vas a tener un bebé. Y ese programa es para las mamás y las familias, para que vengan en persona en locales, ¿verdad? Y vamos a dar la información. So we'll give the information so you know where you can go in person. Pero también puedes hacerlo por Zoom. Y aquí tenemos, right here we have Judge Lina Hidalgo, who came by the table. And the reason why she was there at my table was because it was a maternal and child health conference, una conferencia que es totalmente alrededor de la salud mental de la mamá, de los bebés y también físicamente, ¿verdad? Que tenemos que estar bien de la salud, ¿verdad? Entonces ella vino and she gave a speech and then she came out and she came to my table and she was like, Claudia, how are you? And la saludé and she shared a little bit about her own experience of mental health supports that she needed to seek out for herself. And she really loved what we're doing with the moms. Y aquí tenemos aquí, so if you're watching, if you're listening, please, please come back and go to my website, not just my website, but I know, I think it's mine, but I got to share it, brainbuilders.org, brainbuilders, allí te puedes ir a este sitio web, te puedes unir a las reuniones que son totalmente gratis y las estamos haciendo en línea, y entonces las mamás que a lo mejor no pueden salir a la de la casa con sus chiquitos, they can just zoom in, y las hacemos en inglés y en español, so if you have a little one between the ages of 0 to 3, you're currently pregnant, go to brainbuilders.org. Sign up for these sessions because you can come, we can meet online, and we just come together to talk about life. We give you strategies to support your baby as you're growing and developing. Y if you want to know more, maybe you don't know to sign up or not. Pero vamos a tener unos, como se dice, meet and greets el 7 de mayo for Brain Builders. So we're going to have meet and greets el 7 de mayo por FaceTime, así como estamos haciendo, ¿verdad? Por FaceTime. And you can come and get to meet me, get to meet the other moms, and sign up for some sessions. So I wanted to share.
From the event, the ones that
Yes. So this is after we did the unveiling. This is my sweetie pie, who is the artist, Angel Quesada. And then I also want to segue into this amazing woman who's in red next to me. She is today's guest. So I'd like to take the time to bring on this amazing mujer, líder, activista, mamá, estudiante, maestra. I mean, I don't know what she hasn't done yet, and I'm excited to see what is next on her plate, in her life, that's going to uplift and continue to uplift those voices that need that lift. So I want to bring on my new guest, catching up with Claudia, bringing on Judith Castillo. Bienvenida.
Hola, hermosa, ¿cómo estás? Y gracias por la invitación. Para mí es un honor que me hayas invitado de tantas mujeres maravillosas que hay, obviamente. Egipto, ni que hayas pensado en mí, para mí es un honor estar aquí. Y espero que mi historia, pues, ayude a muchas otras mamás que tal vez en algún momento de su vida sientan que están en un hoyo profundo, como todas nosotros nos hemos sentido, y sentimos que ya no hallamos paz y que llegamos a un abismo. Entonces quiero contarles un poquito de mi historia, porque a pesar de todas las tribulaciones que tuve, me levanté, aquí estoy y seguimos luchando.
Y seguimos luchando. Y es muy importante lo que tú tienes que decir ahorita, como dijiste, porque no sabes quién está pasando por algo similar. And we gotta make sure that your story is constantly shared. Now, I wanna start, quiero empezar un poquito ahorita con algo que tenemos tú y yo en común, de ser maestras. Y yo vi lo que tú hiciste hace un año, ¿verdad? Por un año, por ahí.
Casi un año, se cumple, en mayo se cumple un año, sí.
Tú hiciste algo muy necesario. Quiero que comentes, que nos digas, tell us the story behind what you did as an educator, as in why you had to go into activist mode and speak on behalf of the students that you were teaching, guiding, and supporting. You tell the story, set it up for us. What district were you in? What were you doing? Y cómo apoyaste a esos estudiantes? Bring it on, Judith.
Hace como yo comencé trabajando para AMBO ISD en el diciembre del 2016. Se había ido la maestra que estaba y yo acababa de tomar mi certificación para ser maestra de español. Había sido maestra de elementary por muchos años, 7 años, y trabajaba para el distrito de Houston ISD. Pero quería un cambio porque estaba yo embarazada y acababa de tener a mi hijo, y quería un cambio drástico, y teniendo mi minor en Spanish, como crucé mi certificación con el Region 4 Program, les hablé y les dije, hey, pues, ¿qué otra certificación puedo sacar sin tener que tomar otros cursos? Y me dijeron, pues, tienes un minor en Spanish, toma el examen de español. Lo tomé. Entonces yo empecé a trabajar con ellos porque casualmente compro una casa en Ambo para vivir. Ingreso a mis hijos a estas escuelas porque es supuestamente, y lo digo en comillas, y no tengo ningún problema. O sea, cada escuela tiene dificultades, ¿verdad? Pero a veces uno quiere una educación mejor para sus hijos. Yo me crié en el distrito del Northeast, que estamos hablando. Fui a Aldin, las escuelas de Aldin, MacArthur High School, me gradué de ahí. Mi hija lamentablemente no pertenecía a Aldin, vivíamos una calle antes. Entonces ella tuvo que ir a Houston ISD, y las escuelas, había muchos problemas. Entonces yo lo que quise es ir, que mi hija y mis hijos tuvieran pues una educación un poquito mejor, y siempre nos cambiamos para vivir aquí a Ambo, y casualmente salió esta plaza de maestra de español a 5 minutos de mi casa. Está
wow. Mira cómo el universo y Dios pone en tu camino como debe.
Puso las cosas en orden. Fui, hice la entrevista, y a los 3 días me hablan y me dicen que me dan el trabajo. Y el primer año fue muy difícil porque pues yo voy entrando en medio del semestre.
Sí.
O sea, desde August, September, October, November, it's 5 months. Right, the kids have no teacher, they're just
teachers.
Entonces no tenían ningún plan de disciplina, no tenían nada estos alumnos, para nada. Entonces tú llegas, ya te das cuenta que tienes que comenzar con un plan de disciplina, aparte de enseñar tu lección. Fue muy difícil, y aparte tenía que yo dar 4 materias, era español 3, español 4, español 2 y español 1. Entonces preparar, fue algo muy difícil, y el primer año me quedo calladita, no hago nada, pero ya el siguiente año ya entro de full y digo, hey, aquí no hay problemas culturales.
Wow.
Aquí la mayoría de la población de esa escuela era 40+% hispanos, 44% afroamericanos, y yo miraba que el mes de enero hacían un show de Black History Month. Dice, ¿qué pasó con los latinos? Pues yo como maestra de español me uní con mis colegas y empezamos a planificar hacer estos programas culturales, estos shows. Y realmente al principio yo tenía que dar de mi dinero para que yo fuera mariachi. O sea, yo quitaba comida de mi mesa para que vinieran mariachis, baile folclórico. Y fue muy difícil hasta que pues empezó a ser, it was becoming a burden and a hardship for my family.
It
was costing money. Mariachis are not cheap.
They're not cheap. And here you are doing the best you could to bring in an experience, to elevate a community that was not being, the light wasn't being shined on them.
My focus was 2 things. One, I believe that you can learn a language through music and through culture much better, right?
Yes.
We see a lot of American artists now collaborating with Latinos for this reason.
A lot of collaborations.
So that was one focus, and my other focus was the native speakers, the second, third generations. I wanted them to embrace their identity and their culture, because we have seen a lot of the language loss between second and third generations.
Yeah.
They call themselves the No Savo kids.
Right? The No Savo kids. I've heard of that. My yes.
So I wanted them to embrace their culture. So I started bringing them in, and what I created was the Spanish National Honor Society group.
Yes.
And we created this group in order to raise funds. So I wouldn't have to be putting money out of my table anymore. And what we will do fundraisers, after school sales, during lunch sales. We will bring food trucks to donate a percentage to the club. We will do like Mod Pizza drives or Los Cucos, whatever. I mean, the community was so involved as well with this group of elite students, because in order to be in that, you have to have either a straight A or straight A's and two B's. You have to be an honor roll student.
So let me go back. It was a like an honor society.
Yes, it was Spanish National Honor Society.
Spanish National. So we're talking about not just local, but national recognition beyond Texas, beyond Houston.
Yeah,
so I wanna pull up a picture for Madre Liliana. Can you pull up the picture of the graduation? This is when you graduated, but this is gonna tie in. I want you to share. This stole, right? This is what you, is what you have on. Como, es como sarape, ¿verdad? Okay. So it seems like this is connected to what the students had similar. Your students, there was a time to graduate. They got everything turned in. Take us to that moment when the students were presented their, I guess they're called their stoles, to represent their heritage.
We had a Cinco de Mayo, and let me briefly talk about this picture. This is my master's in Spanish.
Yes.
And I can tell you that, and I'll explain what it says on the hat a little bit.
I love it.
We are light, but I.
We are light.
So this is my master. And I can tell you my master's in teaching Spanish. I embrace my culture. I embrace my identity. I was reading more books in Spanish que nunca en la vida.
¿Verdad?
We grow up in a culture here donde no nos ponen libros en español. Todo es en inglés porque quieren que aprendamos en inglés y en inglés. Sí. Entonces yo la primera vez que yo te agarro un libro en español de literatura fue en my master's.
Wow.
And I was just overwhelmed.
¿Qué cosas, verdad? Porque vivimos aquí en Texas, ¿verdad? Sabiendo que antes que fuera Texas, estas tierras eran parte de México y antes de México eran de las personas que estaban aquí en las Américas. Y de no tener un libro en tus manos until you got to your master's level.
Imagine, and the way that society, the way the structure of society is, it's a way of making us invisible, pretty much.
Exactly. So you were making sure that at that school, you were shining that light. That's right.
That we are here. Our language values. I mean, look at us now. We're the majority of the population in Latin America, right? So I wanted my students, whenever they graduated, to feel that culture, to embrace it. And so I gave a stole on Cinco de Mayo. All these 20 students were brought on stage. We had administrators there.
So you had administrators. So they're very knowledgeable. They're seeing this. They're experiencing
before
this.
Before that, there were emails between the AP that's responsible for graduation that he approved the stoles. So then once he approved the stoles, there is another process that you have to go through accounting for them to purchase the stoles. So that's another thread of emails. And then you have the ceremony, right?
Yeah.
So that's another event. They were very knowledgeable of these 20 students.
So there's no surprises here.
There was no surprises. Or it's not like they want to put it in social media that we had no knowledge. It was all communication. They had communication.
I remember the story. I remember the story, and because that's near and dear to me. I you know, that's my background, educación, maestra, directora, todo. When I got my master's, I didn't think I was going to even make it. When I got my bachelor's, I didn't think I was going to make that either. But to see that you are, that we're still here trying to make sure that other kids see this, and then for you to do this, to create this platform, to shine the light on these students that are working really hard, giving those opportunities to embrace your culture and to share it, to share that with others.
And we're not just talking about any students, we're talking about straight A students.
Straight A students.
I mean, elite of the elite.
Sí.
Latino students.
Ahí en la escuela.
The majority were Latinos. I did have two students that one was mm-hmm. African American, but she was part because we embraced
mm-hmm. everyone
that wanted yeah. anybody that wanted to enjoy. But the majority, 18 of them were Latinos. Two of them were not.
Okay.
But they were brought into the stage. They were giving the stole. They were able to wear it during graduation. So that happened May 5th. Graduation comes May 26th.
Okay.
And there's also a process on entering graduation. You have administrators as you're walking in,
mm-hmm.
checkpointing you and dress coding to make sure you're right. Nadie les dijo nada. Okay.
Y luego
se van y se sientan a su asiento. Hay maestros en cada fila.
Yeah. So they all see this.
Nadie les dijo nada.
Todo se vio el 5 de mayo.
Yeah.
Todo bien. You got emails. You got everything. Thumbs up. We are at graduation. They pass everyone
up. You're passing through the checkpoints, right? Mm-hmm. So you got supervisors on the entrance, picking up phones, dress code. You got teachers at the end of this row. You're going up the ramp. There's another administrator there.
Mm-hmm.
Why did the superintendent of high schools decide at the last minute before you cross the stage? He didn't even ask them, can you remove the stole? He just snapped it out, gave it to somebody that was on the back of the stage. So when they crossed the stage, se la daban de regreso.
Wow.
Pero mientras cruzaban, it's like, I wrote a poem about them. I wrote a poem about it. And actually, yesterday I got a good news that someone's going to be publishing all my poems, and one of the poems is The Honorable 20. And I could cite a little bit if you want.
I would love to. Dame un poquito ahorita. Dame unas líneas, por favor.
Sí, déjame te lo abro.
And I want you to also describe the stole, because it was beautiful and it looked similar to the one that you wore at your master's graduation. And
so
that
the stole,
is, I mean,
el sarape lo usaban, los que no conocen la historia, lo usaban cuando estaban peleando contra los españoles, los indígenas, para protección, para cuidarse de pues obviamente del frío, pero tras la historia, tanto fue que hasta los españoles los empezaron a usar también.
A usar ellos también.
Ellos también. Entonces es como una protección, una identidad. Y es parte de nuestra cultura.
Sí.
Entonces, pues a mí.
Imagínate, un estudiante extra elite, cienes, top of the class, coming up to the stage, feeling that pride. Feeling like I'm finally being acknowledged, my language, my identity, my heritage, and todos, ¿verdad? Y luego que te quiten eso, it's like going back.
You
50
cannot,
years.
If you're a Latino, you can't graduate. You gotta be an American.
Right? So instead of embracing.
A ver. A little bit of the lines. I did cite this poem last year at the National Lula Convention. In which they gave me a medal of bravery and courage. So let me tell you the poem.
That is amazing.
The Honorable 20 in the halls where a whispers hide, I walk feeling unaccepted and denied. Ashamed and scared, I dare not speak. My language silence, voices weak. But in my ear, Spanish music plays a melody that speaks to brighter days. The only language that feels true. Represented me, and it's all that I do. High school years where I grow from a mija to a jovencita, from a mijo to an hombrecito, navigating life labyrinth, I resolve at all high school rites of passage, they say, homecoming, prom, all part of the play. Yet I don't see myself in their script, yearning for a place where I fit. I seek my people, those who understand. In the Spanish National Honor Society, I stand. a sanctuary where I can be me, an active leader, a scholar, proud and free. With 100 hours of community service I give, serving my people, helping them live bachata, salsa, merengue, we dance. Wow. Honoring our roots, taking a chance. We celebrate those that pave the way, dreaming of being like them someday. Mm-hmm. Serving our community hand in hand, united by language, we take a stand. Oh, graduation day, a special moment nears. Proudly I wear my sash and miss cheers, but it's torn away, denied to me. For being a Latino, they refuse to see. My parents upset, my teacher in tears. I'm sorry. Mm, it just brings memories.
It does.
Our hard work folded, our dreams in arrears, but with diploma in hand, I walked on. For they cannot deny that I won. They may hurt me now, but tomorrow I rise, conquering sorrow. From shame to success, I ascend. For I am Latino, and my journey won't end. And I can tell you all of my 20
Bravo. Are in Bravo, bravo. Que si oigan esas palabras, que sigas adelante. Because this is not over. This is just the beginning. I want you now to, we're gonna take you into what are you running for, what position, what district, and why?
I am gonna run for Ambo ISD School Board. Elections start next January. Uh-huh. And the reason I'm running is because of the 100 years that Ambo has. There has not been a Latino or a Latina in the school board. And Latinos do represent Ambo now. It's 48% of the population. So there needs to be a Latina that has sensitivity towards Latinos, has an educational background. Mm-hmm. I have a son with special needs as well. So I'm going to be there to provide resources, not just for teachers, but for parents as well.
Yes.
And as well, have equity for once. You know, there hasn't been no equity at all for Latinos whatsoever. And by me coming in and being a voice and a face already that I stood up for my students, they can see that I care for students, that I am there to pave the way. I can tell you right now, Ambo has been in the news recently a lot. So it's time to get in there and fix all this mess and finally start paving the way for Latinos and bringing more resources for Latino students and as well as special needs students.
Definitely. Bravo, amiga. Estoy contigo. Estoy detrás de ti. Al lado de ti. We are with you. So continue putting that voice out. Continue pointing out the needs of the community. You know, you named a lot of communities that need that voice. And I'm thankful for your bravery, for tu voz, que se oiga, que now that you're running, that's what we need. And I want this to be a testament. I want this to be a story for others that are out there, especially us that are sitting here in Houston, in the Houston ISD, that we're seeing these changes and they're not sitting well. May this be a way for us to get involved, whether it starts from going to the schools, to the teacher conferences, ¿verdad? Empezando ahí, leer las hojas que te mandan de la casa, ir y poner tu voz, no importa qué escuela tienes, diplomas, no importa. Lo que importa es tener ese deseo, that passion for your children to go in there and to ask questions and to be part of the process, because you've seen it. You were part of the process.
They provide translations. We went to the school board. Y adrede, la esposa del doctor Lira, María Lira, adrede lo hizo, empezó a hablar español.
En español.
Y no había nadie, wasn't no translator, so they point out a communication lady that she is, she's from Puerto Rico, and it took up her 2 minutes that she had speaking, because she couldn't translate, and her excuse was, well, I'm Puerto Rican, she's Mexican, we speak no, it's not that we speak different.
There's no excuse. You have to, you know your numbers, you know your communities, you know the kids that are coming in, so It's going to take us to continue, Dr. Lida, Maria Lida, yourself, you know, getting parents in there, asking, and don't stop until you get that translation or get that paperwork or get that voice, porque si no, van a ser decisiones que no tener no, nada que ver con las necesidades de los niños y la comunidad.
No, y los papás que, no saben, los papás no entienden qué está pasando, o si quieren una junta con sus maestros, no les dan a alguien que realmente, o sea, yo lo que quiero aclarar es, una cosa es sí hablar el español, pero otra cosa es cuando tú contratas a alguien que ya estudió lingüística, que tuvo un curso de traducción, porque para traducir como esos términos, cuando tenemos niños con capacidades especiales, sabemos que en esa junta usan unos términos muy dificultosos. Sí. Entonces, tienen que contratar a un grupo de especialistas que se dedican solamente a traducir. Y esos especialistas, todas las, los otros distritos lo tienen.
Lo tienen.
¿Por qué? Porque ellos mandan las comunicaciones, ellos dan las entrevistas a los canales, ellos le dan todos los recursos a los papás. Yo no entiendo por qué AMBO no puede contratar a un grupo de especialistas traductores que pueda estar ahí cuando un papá tiene...
una necesidad, una junta. Y por eso estás tú. Se empieza con una persona y se va a correr. Y vas a traer a las dos papás. Yo ya veo en el futuro que tú vas a poner la voz para los de, para que los demás puedan aprender de ti adentro de la escuela, en el distrito, igual afuera del distrito, para que los papás también se puedan sentir comfortable, you know, and safe to come into the schools, you know, and be part of the decision making and to have someone there. Pues lo que queremos, ¿verdad?
Queremos que los papás estén involucrados en la educación de sus hijos, y cómo los vamos a involucrar si no están las cosas en español, ellos no las entienden.
No las entienden.
Entonces, tienen que tener las cosas en español, tienen que tener, o sea, yo empecé hace 3 años con haciendo open houses en español para los papás en Summer Creek. Porque no había ni las open houses, había en español.
Tú sola lo hicías.
Yo, bueno, se lo propuse al director. Y el director, gracias a Dios, ese director era, con todas mis ideas locas, siempre me apoyaba.
Te apoyó, ¿verdad?
Me apoyaba así de lejecitos, hazlo, pero allá de lejecitos.
Sí, de lejecitos. Y qué bueno que hiciste eso, porque you remind me so much of what I did in my early years, en mis primeros años de ser maestra. Empecé un programa bilingüe en una escuela. Éramos yo y 3 otros maestros. Y éramos nuevos, ¿verdad? Y también estamos poniendo un programa nuevo. Y los papás pues no entendían que las juntas y no sabían, no, y las hojitas totalmente en inglés. Entonces nosotros tuvimos que hacer todo en trabajo, pero ya tienen todo, eso fue hace muchos años, en ese distrito donde trabajé, pero siempre empieza con alguien y con unas ideas que a veces dice, unas ideas locas, pero that's what happens. You have to have crazy ideas, and crazy ideas is what makes crazy things people happen, and crazy people. And I'm so glad to be in this world right now at this time with you. Because I am excited to do what I can. I might not be able to vote for you, but I want you to take some time right now, and I want you to look at the audience as if they're looking at you and tell them, you know, en español y también en inglés, you know, why they should vote for you. What are the things that you're going to bring to the district? And go.
Pues los que nos están escuchando, lo que quiero es su servidora. Trae muchas ideas positivas para nuestra gente latina, pero también para todos los que hemos pasado por muchas cosas en este distrito, que no nos han escuchado. Hay mucho acoso, mucho bullying, hay muchos servicios de educación especial que a veces no entendemos por ser latinos. Entonces, son esas cositas que hay que aclarar. Hay que estar participando, y la única manera de participar es por fin tener a una representante latina que represente la comunidad, que represente la población. Somos el 48% ya de latinos en el distrito de AMBO, y es hora de levantar la voz. Ya no debemos de vivir bajo las sombras. porque nuestro idioma vale. El programa, lo que es el Dual Language y Bilingual Program, está creciendo, que ahora hay otro programa que se llama Spanish Immersion, inmersión de español, donde se juntan de diferentes razas para aprender este idioma. Entonces, uh-huh, estamos viendo de que muchos quieren aprender el lenguaje. Entonces, así como ellos quieren aprender nuestro idioma, también queremos que nos respeten, que nos valoren, que nos den todos los recursos que cualquier otra persona se les da. Y es por eso que quiero decirles que voten por mí. Van a venir las elecciones en enero. Es cuando empieza la campaña y voy a ocupar todo el apoyo de la gente latina, porque aunque no vivan cerca, con su apoyo, con un granito de arena que den, eso va a ayudar a mi campaña, poner letreros o a pagarle a alguien para que vaya a tocar las puertas. Se viene mucho trabajo, pero aunque no vivan cerquita, con un granito de arena que se va a empezar esta campaña en enero, yo se los voy a agradecer bastante.
Gracias. Ahora, en inglés, porque bilingüe, la persona que
bilingüe.
We're bilingual, so en inglés, para que se oiga.
Yes, to my Latinos that are Latinos or anybody that is listening out there, I am running for Ambo ISD School Board. My campaign starts in January, and 48% of the population in Ambo are Latinos, and it's time that we see what we service. It's time that there is a Latina in there. I'm not just a mom. I do have my students enrolled here. I was a prior teacher for Ambo for 6.5 years. I do have an educational background. I'm in hopefully soon, coming soon, a PhD in bilingual studies, Latino studies, and my dissertation focuses in bilingualism and how can we service our bilingual students. And not just that, I'm here to provide resources to parents, resources to teachers, to students that have not been met. I'm also going to be here to promote equity along any lines, whether it's special education. I do have a son that is a special needs student, and I do see the lack of knowledge in the autism spectrum. So I'm going to be there to provide and promote resources to have the skills necessary to address all of these needs, and especially what we have going on a lot right now. It's a lot of bullying going on. Yeah. So let's provide a lot of restorative practices so these students can restore, and instead of causing bully, they can become leaders, and we can see them, you know, moving on forward and obtaining a college degree. So I do want to have your vote. I want you to support me. If you don't live in the Humboldt district, you can support me. My campaign is going to start in January, and we are going to be doing fundraisers, so whatever you can donate will help us tremendously, either with the yard sign or paying door knockers, or, you know, anything mm-hmm. that you can help will be very, very greeted con mucho amor, with a lot
con
of
mucho
love.
Amor. We'll be welcomed. And I will send them your way. So if you're listening, you have just had a chance to meet Judith Castillo. She is a future doctor. Doctora Judith Castillo is in the horizon. Future representative, representing La Gente in Ambo ISD as a board trustee, as a board member. I am excited. I am inspired. I want to say that I actually, years ago, I had a PhD projected in 2015 on my resume. And then I took it off. And, you know, life happens, kids happen, work happens, life happens, and in the universe has been sharing with me, you need to put this back on your resume as something you want to do in the future. I had a chance to see you at the Latina Leadership Podcast, and it was all about Latinas in higher ed. I was surrounded by so many women that were And there's not many. It's a small group. And the small group that is in that PhD world was there. And you were there, a candidate. I had a chance to have lunch today with Dr. Fran, that's the president of HCC. And I'm like, okay, I'm hearing this. I think it's time. So catching up with Claudia. Here we are at the Latina Leadership Podcast that was put on by Angelica, the amazing Angelica, who has this leadership, Latinas in leadership roles, where we come together, where we share stories, where we inspire each other, and we inspire the next generations. So I thank you for being brave, for speaking.
Es
para siempre. Mi mamá,
¿qué me... con las cosas like online.
Sí, todo rápido se puede hacer. Yeah, so thank you for inspiring me. Every time I bring someone on to share their story, it's not, it's for me too. A mí me da también, me alimenta oír lo que están presentando y dictando y diciendo, y porque eso también es alimentación.
Mira,
para
hace
mí.
Rato yo... pusiste una foto cuando estaba breastfeeding my son.
Sí.
Girl, I mean...
You had your homework, and you had your homework around you. Look like
homework and I'm
your baby, breastfeeding, homework. I mean, this is amazing.
There shouldn't be nothing. No
barriers. You see, and if there is a barrier, find a way to go through it, to go around it. Rodéate de comadres, de amigas, de alguien. Un apoyo. So we're going to stop here with the pictures because I want to save these. We're going to have part two, and we're going to have part three, because we're now at the end of our recording. It's 8:16, and I know that we have to get wrap it up because we have some more shows coming up after this with my comadre Liliana. But I want to invite everyone. We're going to have you back because you need to come back and talk about, I want to give a little teaser and talk about a little bit about a place that's called La Luz del Mundo. If you're not familiar with La Luz del Mundo, it's an organization, for a better lack of words. That's what I'm going to call it. And it's been in the news a lot. It was for a long time, and it still is. And you are you are a thriver. Because yes, you survived, but you're thriving despite an experience that was not good. But look where you are. You are now taking that, what was supposed to be la luz del mundo, of shining in a positive way, which we see that it wasn't. You've actually reclaimed light, a luz. Again, and giving it the definition that it needs, because now you are coming up on top and shining and helping others reach their goals, their dreams, find their voice, be safe physically, mentally. So I thank you, because you're going to come back for part two. We're going to talk about your experience with La Luz del Mundo. And also, I'm going to share your podcast. I've had a chance to hear your podcast, so I'm going to share it because I want you to come back, talk about that. And then part three, you're going to come back and talk about your election, your road to becoming a trustee in Humble ISD. So you're going to come back. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's stop here because there's so much to share. Y la gente que está escuchando aquí en RadioCristalUSA.com, esta fue una gran amiga. Ya es amiga, ya es comadre, activista, maestra, líder, futura doctora. Aquí la vamos a tener otra vez de vuelta porque ella tiene otras cosas que nos tiene que contar. Los momentos que ella tuvo en La Luz del Mundo, en una iglesia, una organización que es una iglesia aquí en Houston. Y también vamos a ver cómo la vamos a apoyar mientras que ella va a buscar el puesto de, va a correr por el puesto de las escuelas de Humble ISD, de ser una representante allí en la mesa directiva, allí en Humble ISD. Así es que, gracias por estar aquí conmigo.
Gracias a ti por esta oportunidad. Y claro, cuando regreso, te platico todo. Te puedo decir que por mi experiencia que tuve en la iglesia, me concentré en estudiar. Y ese fue mi healing journey.
Sí.
Así que, no sabían que después iba a venir en contra de ellos, obviamente. No estoy en contra, yo lo que hago es simplemente ayudar a los que...
Sí, todo pasa por alguna razón y todo se está alineando como debe. So, gracias, porque por eso estás aquí y haciendo ese trabajo tan bonito y muy necesario, Judith. Gracias. Comadre Liliana, ¿dónde estás? Porque vamos a alistarnos. Mira, qué bella mujer.
Escuchando y aprendiendo de Judith. Muchas felicidades, Judith, por todo lo que haces. Gracias por la comunidad.
Sí, gracias. All right, so this is the end of Catching Up with Claudia. We'll see each other again. The show repeats next Tuesday, and also it's a podcast, so you can also download the podcast and get a chance to listen back and get a chance to know Judith Castillo, her story. And we're going to have her back for two more sessions because we're going to talk about her experience with La Luz del Mundo, a church here in Houston, where, you know, there's a lot of things that were happening there that were not right. And she was a part of that as she grew from that, and we're also going to have her back to see how she's doing and how we can help Judith become a trustee, get elected over in Humble ISD. All right, muchas gracias y hasta la otra.
Gracias por haber estado aquí en el show Catching Up with Claudia. ¿Tanta? ¿Ya terminamos? Okay, bye.